Right, fantastic. So, you guys have any parting words, or should I play us off here?
Spring musical. Tell your friends.
Join us. We're amazing.
Well, actually, no. All right. You guys are the musical goers here, or players, I should say. Is there a particular song that you'd like me to play us off with?
My Heart Will Go On.
And there you have it. My Heart Will Go On.
You know who this is for, so listen.
And that was the UBC Gilbert and Sullivan Club. Can you guys give us your names again for those who might just be turning now?
Allison Clark.
Sam Jaffe.
Max Buckner.
And if you'd like to join the UBC Gilbert and Sullivan Club, you can get to them at which email address?
GilbertandSullivanUBC@gmail.com.
Fantastic. I'm going to elect not to play the 8-minute long version of this song. But,
come on.
Sorry, guys. Sorry. Thanks. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Tell your friends.
Once more, you open.
101.9 FM CITR. Good evening, everyone. You are still tuned in to 24 Hours of Student Power. I am joined now by two very special guests. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves?
I'm Michaela Baer, VP of Marketing and Communications at the Carl Sagan Association for the Communication of Science.
I'm Jason Fernando. I'm president of Carl Sagan Association.
For the Communication of Science. That's what right. is your anagram? Not anagram. Acronym. What is your acronym?
We go by CSA.
Okay.
Which is a little bit problematic because it's actually the acronym for the much larger Chinese Students Association, which we didn't think about when we first used that acronym. But so be it.
Okay. Well, let's talk. Let's talk Carl Sagan Association for the Communication of Science. Is that it?
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
All right. Let's. What's your club all about? I know a little bit, I'll admit, but for the listeners out there who do not, start with the basics.
Yeah, Ryan's been a big supporter of us since the beginning, but for those of you who don't know us, which is probably most of you, it's a interdisciplinary science community is the fancy phrasing we've kind of decided on. And basically what that means is we're trying to be a go-to place for students and non-students at UBC who are interested in the sciences and want to learn more about it and want to do that in a community where you're not necessarily a science student, you don't necessarily have much knowledge about it. It's supposed to be very interdisciplinary and inclusive. And again, for those of you listening who are not enrolled at UBC, it doesn't matter. There's no like requirement of that or age or occupation or anything like that. It's for anyone who's interested.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if I would like to get involved with the Carl Sagan Association, what happens? What do I do when I get there? How do I become a member?
Well, after the elaborate hazing rituals, yeah. we've been wanting to get people more of like a, you know, card or pins, that kind of thing, but we ran out of all our pins. So basically right now, if you become a member, which costs $4 for the year, that's academic year, so it's not quite as, you know, good value as it would have been back in September, but still not much money. If you have a membership, you're part of like our database, so we know who you are, and it means that any events we do, you know, you can come for free, basically. And so, for example, we're going to be holding, we're planning social events, something called Apple Pie Social is what we have in mind, which is basically okay. going to be us serving apple pie free for members, and it will cost something, a relatively small amount for non-members. Usually, though, the membership is just something people do to support what we're doing, to support the idea of this community, as opposed to it being really tied to, like, particular items we're putting out. Like, we're not really selling t-shirts at this time or anything of that nature.
Okay. So there's a pin, but they're sold out. You guys should get like Cub Scout patches. Have you, do you know the podcast, Welcome to Night Vale?
Man, I don't.
Okay. It's a science fiction, but also a science philosophy based podcast. And the Cub Scouts there can elevate to the level of Eternal Scout after okay. Eagle Scout. And I feel like members of the Carl Sagan Association also should become Eternal Scouts.
See, that's just a whole new level of innovation that we hadn't even considered. That's a good idea.
That's why it's an interdisciplinary, what was the official term?
Interdisciplinary community of science enthusiasts, I think is what's on the website.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Great. Okay, let's talk about science then. And I want to talk about the pop culture of science first. Question. Is Bill Nye a dick? I've heard that guy is, despite how awesome he is and all the things he's done for science, what do we know about his personal life? I hate to be a gossip here, but I just want to start with something juicy.
Well, I don't know anything about Bill Nye personally, but all that I do know of him, of course, comes from his media persona and so forth. And it's always been very positive from my perspective. Mm-hmm. I'm biased from the fact that I used to love watching his show growing up. I don't know about you, Michaela.
In school, did you watch it in science class?
Yes.
Yeah.
Quite a lot, actually.
It made science class more interesting, way more interesting.
And actually, one of the things people might not know about Bill Nye is he's actually the CEO of a really awesome organization I love called the Planetary Society.
Wow.
And Planetary Society is basically a really competent and organized version of what we're trying to do, but obviously we're on a super small scale. And yeah, for those of you interested about that, I really do recommend checking them out, planetary.org. And you can see the stuff that Bill Nye is doing with them. As far as I can tell, it seems to be very positive. So I'm not sure about personal life, obviously. But
okay.
Yeah.
Well, there we go.
Yeah.
I think you guys seem very competent and organized.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
We're trying to model ourselves a bit on the way they've set things up, just in terms of, like, not underestimating, I guess, the potential that it can have. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a sense of any kind of interest group or community, you can see it on a very casual level, and I think it's important to retain that sense of accessibility, but also taking seriously the idea that this really can mean something for people. I know it means something to me, so...
But also, it's important to stress that even though our name is the Carl Sagan Association, we aren't only looking at, you know, the cosmos and
right.
things to do
it's
with
it's not the cult of Carl Sagan.
Astronomy,
no.
yeah. We, it's the Carl we welcome Sagan. All science enthusiasts from physics nerds to, I don't know, Star Trekkies.
Sure. Anyone who's interested. Yeah, and even if you're, like, not someone who claims any degree of activity in those kind of communities in the past, like, let's say you're, you don't know, a dentistry student who's just kind of curious about what we're trying to do, mm-hmm. those people are exactly as welcome, right? There's no, we're not trying to make it a clique in that exclusive sense.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we take a musical break in the name of science? The coffee pot is also percolating.
Oh, lovely.
So we're going to put some of that rocket fuel into our own bodies.
Excellent.
And then we'll be back with more from the Carl Sagan Association. This song, is it all right if I play the first
Please
song?
Please do,
I've been
it's a great
so
idea.
Excited. Okay, thank you. This is the Galaxy song from Monty Python's monumental film, The Meaning of Life, in which they discuss that title, The Meaning of Life. This is the song to Mrs. Brown, and we'll be back with more on 101.9 FM CITR. This is 24 Hours of Student Power.
Listen to this. Whenever life gets you down, Mrs. Brown, and things seem hard or tough, and people are stupid, obnoxious, or daft, and you feel that you've had quite enough, just remember that you're standing on a planet that's evolving and revolving at 900 miles an hour. That's orbiting at 90 miles a second, so it's reckoned a sun that is the source of all our power. The sun and you and me and all the stars that we can see are moving at a million miles a day. In an outer spiral arm at 40,000 miles an hour of the galaxy we call the Milky Way. Our galaxy itself contains 100 billion stars. It's 100,000 light years side to side. It bulges in the middle, 16,000 light years thick, but out by us it's just 3,000 light years wide. We're 30,000 light years from galactic central point. We go round every 200 million years. And our galaxy is only one of millions of billions in this amazing and expanding universe. On expanding and expanding in all of the directions it can whiz, as fast as it can go, at the speed of light, you know, 12 million miles a minute, and that's the fastest speed there is. So remember when you're feeling very small and insecure, how amazingly unlikely is your birth. And pray that there's intelligent life somewhere up in space, 'cause there's bugger all down here on Earth.
That last line is debatable. I think there is intelligent life on planet Earth, as evidence is of the two people sitting in front of me. Again.
Thank you.
Hello again.
Thanks, Ryan. That's actually very, very flattering.
Yeah, it is.
Well, you're welcome. We've become friends now.
We Jason had a contract, actually, before
yeah.
the show, Ryan and I.
Signed it in blood.
Wow. Michaela's blood note.
I didn't know about this.
So.
We're back, and we have coffee. We didn't actually plan what else to talk about, but let's talk science.
Yeah, whatever we talk about, at least I'm going to start talking twice as quickly. So
okay.
There's that.
Okay, well, let's talk about some scientific issues. Let's talk about particle acceleration. That's what popped into my mind when I think science.
Ooh, exciting.
Exciting indeed. Mm-hmm. I should preface it by saying I know bugger all about particle physics. Maybe about as much as the average person. But.
Yeah, it's an interest of mine. I definitely, at one point, really aspired to be a physicist. But I went in a different direction. I was watching a video recently from MIT that we posted on our Facebook page, actually, which is facebook.com/EBCSagan. And it features Professor Max Tegmark, who works in physics at MIT, and he's talking about the weirdness of reality. And he draws a comparison between, let me see if I can try to remember it properly, but he's talking about the Large Hadron Collider and sort of comparing banging strands of protons together at almost light speed and finding a Higgs boson to, I think he said something like banging two Volkswagens together and getting a cruise ship out of it or something.
That's very Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yeah.
Okay. Is the Higgs boson, is that the quote God particle?
The God particle. Yeah.
So what is that? I actually have no idea until you brought it up in class.
Right.
The other
good
day.
Memory. I don't remember anything I say in class.
Oh.
I don't know, but one thing that I found really helpful about the Higgs boson is, again, I can't remember the physicist. I think it might have been in Scientific American or something like that, but he was making the point that it's actually the Higgs field, like within which the particle can be observed, that actually matters, and that the particle is more just kind of evidence for the field.
Okay.
Right? Whereas I usually think, particularly because of the term God particle being so kind of grandiose, that it's all about the particle, right? But he was
right.
saying, no, it's actually the field that's being theorized, and the particle was just theorized as a way of knowing about the field. And the other thing I heard that stuck with me, and again, I don't know if this is accurate, but people listening might know better, is that the field is really cool because apparently it has a function of like sort of slowing down other particles, kind of like molasses, I think is the term that was used to describe it, in such a way that those particles interact with one another and form more complex particles mm-hmm. in a way that wouldn't otherwise take place. And apparently that's what physicists mean, or at least it's part of what they mean when they talk about the Higgs boson being responsible for imbuing other particles with mass. It has to do with like a kind of a slowing down
okay.
function. But again, I'm really not an expert at all, so I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, though.
Yeah,
it is.
Really is.
Yeah.
Anything to add on that?
No, only that I hear that now physicists want a super extra large Hadron Collider.
Okay.
Somewhere.
Isn't it already the size of a city
yes.
or something?
Yeah.
Okay, so
huge.
How big, like, does it go around the world? Do we get a like a Saturn ring collider?
I mean, we'll see. Yeah, but
we can hope.
But more than one country might. Well, more than one country would be involved in that case. But
yeah.
In this case, I don't know where it would be. Maybe America. I'm not quite sure. I can't remember.
I'm skeptical about that, though. I mean, a lot of the science-related funding in the United States is being cut. Like, for example, even with regard to space-related sciences. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I said even, apart from the fact that I'm particularly interested in that stuff, but a lot of their missions, even current missions, are at risk of being defunded, let alone further developments in space exploration. So I feel like by that same logic, which I would argue to be short-sighted logic, explorations into physics are likely to come under the same kind of congressional pressure.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they're for the advancement of military... Right. Operations.
I don't disagree.
Yeah, some kind of advancement or something.
Yeah.
Sorry, all my science facts are like just from really grotesque internet information, but did you guys ever see that guy who's like put his head in the collider while it was on?
That can't be true.
It happened.
Really? I haven't heard about that.
It was a long time ago. Well, you know what? After our next musical break,
yeah,
we'll take
we'll do some research.
We'll take a peep on the internet because I could have just been that could have just been someone lying on the internet as they do.
Right.
Trolling, as the kids are calling it these days.
Isn't it cold? Isn't it really, really cold in there? I can't quite remember, but I seem to
remember
that the conditions require that for it to be quite
so that the other
very,
there,
very
any
cold.
Other particles in there aren't moving around or something.
It just seems really implausible to me. I mean, Because I mean, I've seen when I see pictures of the LHC, like the you see the cylinder, if you will, the
right.
collider.
The magnets.
It's segregated, obviously, from where the engineers are working. Right. I mean, I don't think there would be any conditions under which a person. Could
I don't think
get
this was
there.
Like a like the most like not the LHC,
oh,
but
okay.
like
I
a,
see.
Just another particle accelerator okay. in that just some man had like particles
right.
pressed through his head. And
you know, speaking of particle accelerators, we have one at UBC, the Triumph.
Yeah,
Laboratory.
The Triumph Center.
Did you go, Ryan, when you were doing Dr. Robert Brain's? I talk about this class every time I come on CITR, but
no.
there's in Science and Society.
Yeah, I had John Beattie.
Oh,
for that.
I love John
so,
Beattie. Yeah, he's
he is the man.
Yeah.
But we didn't go there.
Okay.
To the Triumph Center. I take the bus by it, or I used to take the bus by it every day.
It's really cool. So if anyone listening is like, I want to learn some real facts about physics instead of what these clowns are talking about, go over to Triumph. I can't remember the address, but if you look it up, just Triumph, UBC, TRIUMF.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool. It's not exactly cutting edge anymore, as can be expected, but it's pretty awesome. And they do tours, and they're extremely knowledgeable, obviously. Yeah.
Great. And I mean, you could also, if you wanted to learn more about science, attend the next screening of The Cosmos by Carl Sagan, put on by the Carl Sagan Association.
Yeah.
Who we have on air right now. When is the next?
Yeah, they're starting again in the new year.
Okay. So if I wanted to keep an eye out for that,
right.
how would I do so?
So if you want to keep up to date with all of our upcoming events, including these Cosmos screenings, you can go to our website at ubcsagan.org. Sagan, for those of you who don't know, it's S-A-G-A-N. And we have a newsletter up there. You can see it pretty prominently like featured on the navigation bar and all our pages. We have a little button for a newsletter. We'll let you know about everything about a week in advance, if not a bit more. And yeah, so in the new year, we're doing these free screenings of Carl Sagan's Cosmos, which is a really amazing TV series that aired, I think it was back in the 1980s. It's very interesting. If you're on the fence about it, just take my word. It's free. All of the screenings are going to be free. You'll learn a lot. You'll meet cool people. And we're going to try to feature professors who are experts in the field that's being covered in each episode to come in and do an introduction. We have a tentative yes. I still need to firm up for one of them coming, not in January, but a little bit after, on stellar evolution. So if that sounds interesting, check us out. And yeah, sign up to the newsletter.
All right. Let's take another musical break, shall we? You guys are here for the whole hour or half an hour?
It can be either. I had
okay.
it scheduled for between 30 minutes and 60 minutes. So,
okay.
Yeah.
You're welcome to stay here as long
okay.
as you want. I will be here alone until 4 in the morning. So please help me.
Okay. Yeah.
And if you would like to call in and participate in this conversation, talk about science, pose a question to these young scientific philosophers, please do so. 604-822-2487, 604-822-2487. And I felt bad about supposing that Bill Nye was a dick just because of rumors that I've heard. And he has made a bunch of great contributions to science, and, you know, inspiring young kids to learn about science. It's definitely one of the things I remember particularly from my young scientific public school education, was Bill Nye. He's a very inspiring man. We all have bad days, and it would be hard on anyone to be famous. So I'd like
Indeed.
To play the theme song to the Bill Nye the Science Guy TV show, if that works. Okay, and then we'll be back.
Bill Nye.
Inertia is a property of matter.
Bill,
T minus 7 seconds.
Bill, the science guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday.
From 1 to 3 p.m.
Who is this guy? Does he have a name? Let me know where he's from.
From parts unknown.
My name's Chris Horrific.
You always wanted his character to be bigger than life.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is, without question,
the greatest sports and entertainment event of all time. Be a part of it Monday
from 1 to 3 p.m.
The Parts Unknown Show on 101.9 CITR. Sometimes cosmoses collide.
Break your fingers.
All right, and we are back so quickly. You just heard Bill Nye the Science Guy's theme song, as well as a brief plug for the Parts Unknown Show, Mondays from 1 to 3 p.m. on CITR. In case you're just joining us, we are joined with members of the Carl Sagan Association talking about science, talking about what science means to us, and how it takes other forms, such as art.
Mm-hmm. Good segue.
Art, very good. We are hoping to do a few art shows as part of our club activities. We just finished wrapping one up at the Irving K. Barber Learning Center that ran throughout November. And the title of that one was An Inescapable Perspective, Conversations in Science. And that's actually came from a line of Carl Sagan's. I can't quite remember what it was, but...
I can try
Jason, you look like you got it.
Adam. Yeah. So paraphrasing, those of you who are currently reading Carl Sagan's Cosmos will probably get mad at me for quoting it wrong, but I'm a huge fan of you individuals, so I'm sure we have no beef between us. The basic quote is something like, out there in the cosmos, an inescapable perspective awaits. It says, fanatic ethnic or religious or national identifications are difficult to support when we see the Earth fading to become an inconspicuous point of light amidst the bastion and citadel of the stars. Gorgeous.
It sounds like you read that every night before bed.
Surprisingly, I don't, but I think it's something I think about a lot, because for me it encapsulates just sort of the enhanced appreciation of the world and nature that, you know, inquiries into the sciences, whether you're a scientist or not, can inspire. So it's pretty close to my heart, yeah.
That's an interesting point. I was actually just it's finals season, so obviously the Netflix instant queue has become a big part of my life. And there was some show, it was Mad Men. I don't know if you guys watch that show. I certainly have a few qualms with it. But they do have like a lot of really interesting historical perspective. And they're talking about when the photo of the Earth taken from outer space was released into the newspaper, and I really just think that that's something that we don't appreciate, having just been born with that existing.
That perspective
it really changed people's perception of humanity and the world, seeing this blue orb
actually
floating out in space. Please.
So that's just a really powerful anecdote of someone else making that point really well. There's a brilliant scientist, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Lots of people know him. He's a bit of a hero. He's gained kind of a popular culture fame for being like a really powerful advocate for the value of basic research in the sciences and science popularization and public funding for space exploration and science missions and so forth. Anyway, and so he was delivering, I think this was in the context of delivering an address to the United States Senate Committee on Science and Technology, that's not the actual name, I don't think, but something like that. And he was making the point, he was talking about have you heard about the Whole Earth Catalog?
No.
It was made by Stuart Brand. Stuart Brand is kind of famous in the sort of United States tech culture, kind of grassroots, open source tech culture. This was before the invention of the internet. He put out this catalog called the Whole Earth Catalog. And I won't get too sidetracked on it, but basically what this was this directory, so to speak, of how to get access to all sorts of technical equipment for building things, coupled with all this information